Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 176, Cigar Box Battle Mat Review. So for all of you listeners, new and longtime alike, I want to welcome you to this episode and say I think you're going to have a really good time because, first of all, you don't have to worry about listening to only me for the whole episode. I got a great co-host who's going to be joining me in a moment. And also because the topic is pretty fantastic, we will be reviewing what might be new to you, which are Cigar Box Battle gaming mats. Before I go any further, we're going to talk about a lot of things. I know you're not going to remember them because, heck, I wouldn't. You listen while you're painting or you're assembling models or maybe at the gym or commuting to work or whatever, so you can't remember it all. Don't worry. We got you covered. Remember this one thing and you will be golden. It is the link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR176. wargamingrecon.com/WR176. So before we dig deep, let me welcome my co-host, the one and only Alex. Alex, how are you today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for this episode, despite the pre-recording technical difficulties we had.
Yeah, a few bumps in the road, but that's okay.
I really blame it on the pre-discussion we had that had nothing to do with wargaming, which is why we're not going to talk about it. So I'll do one thing I hate, which is when people post on social media and they're like, something made me really mad, but I'm not going to tell you, so just guess. But I think it's because we just went completely off topic before, and the internet gods were like, how dare you? And
they got that's angry. Right. We gave it the old jinx, the old bad mojo.
We did. So quick, like, I don't know, knock on wood or... what are you supposed to do? Like rub a dwarf or something? And toss salt over your shoulder. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, there's got to be like a wargaming good luck thing, like kiss your dice or something like that.
Do you just like toss them over your shoulder? Because I got dice here.
Yeah, maybe do that.
You just whiff, off they go. So today, I actually have you to thank for the topic because you introduced me to the Cigar Box Battle Mats. You have one of them, and we were playing. I don't even know. Were we playing your game? And you're like, I got my fancy hat. And I was like,
that might have been the first time. Yeah. Yeah. I think that might have been the first time. And I actually have to kind of tip my hat to a few people who introduced me to them because they are fantastic. Some of the guys over at Tabletop Commanders, that group on Facebook that I know you're a member of, I'm a member of, before they were even a actual group, Curtis had done a review on YouTube and sang praises for these mats. And I was really jazzed up by that. So I reached out to him, found out that he actually happened to live at the time. Well, not at that time, but previously in Massachusetts. And he since has moved to, I want to say Pennsylvania, maybe. So he got in touch with me, kind of said, hey, look, these mats are great. You know, we talked about that. And then I got to know him and Ian had them as well. And from there on, I was pretty much sold. So they were the original knowers, I guess, if you want to call them that, in our line of knowing.
I've heard a rumor that one of the head honchos of that group, Alan Fertz, actually has some sort of business relationship with the Cigar Box people and that he does some sort of work, design work maybe for them. And I've noticed he has a lot of imagery of the mats and he does these live YouTube videos and live gaming kind of stuff, and he'll show them off then. So it's kind of neat to see what he has as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been on Facebook all that much, so I haven't seen too much of that stuff, but that's pretty cool if that's the case.
The Cigar
he's a good guy.
No, he's definitely a good guy, very encouraging. And I recommend, if you're listening and you go on Facebook, that you should check out the Tabletop Commanders Facebook group. A great group of people, and they love seeing work in progress kind of stuff and things that you're painting and assembling and terrain things and games that you're playing and all of that sort of thing. The cigar box mats, we actually have a link in the show notes to their website. They have a lot of different mats that you can obtain. And before we actually like review the actual mats that you and I have, maybe we should just kind of give a little bit of an overview about Cigar Box insofar as you and I are aware of the company and what they're doing before we dive into what we're actually going to be talking about.
Sure.
So you, I think, know actually a little bit more than I do about their background, although I feel like I've talked to them more than you have.
You definitely have. So why don't you go ahead and lead? Because when I first started chatting with them, you said they had the variety of mats that they had. I think they may have had maybe 5 or 6 mats at that point. Like it certainly isn't the ridiculous amount that they have now. I mean, I went on just prepping for today, and there were ones that I had never seen before. And of course I'm not hitting that site every 5 minutes, but it seems like they're adding something every 5 minutes.
Well, they are made in the US of A, which is nice for those of us here in America to support an American company, especially one that does really cool stuff. They are made to order. They are sent out. It's 2 guys who run it, Chris and Corey. And one is more into the design side of it and the artistic side, and one is more into the gaming side. But they're both gamers. So from what I understand, they've did this because they wanted to create a suitable tabletop surface. And like a lot of you, I think they did as well. And I have definitely, you sat out with that green felt thing and you're like, I got green felt on my table, so I got a grassy thing or whatever. And you use it because you got it and it's cheap. But they kind of decided, from what I understand, to go steps further and to actually use their expertise to create these mats. And each mat is specifically designed to represent a specific locale. So it could be a type of ocean, Mediterranean Sea. It could be Arctic tundra. You could have certain types of desert or an area of the Sahara. You might have actual conflicts where a mat might represent the battle or part of the Battle of Gettysburg or Antietam or the Bocage during World War II or all these different areas. And they're constantly expanding them. They're actually, or at least one of them anyway, but they will be coming on later in 2017 to kind of just talk about the company as a whole, what they're doing, and their whole origin story, along with things that are going to be moving forward. We got in touch with them and are able to review stuff because, Alex, after you were like, hey, these are really cool mats, I was like, well, you know, I just found out Wargaming Recon is the longest running tabletop wargaming podcast on the planet. So maybe I could use that as a way to be like, hi, the show seems to be pretty cool. People seem to like it. What do you think about letting us have some stuff to review? By the way, we don't have millions of dollars, so can we work something out? And they very kindly offered, you paid for yours, but, and I paid for the ones I have, but I offered review agreement for what I have on hand. And you have an interesting story about what you had purchased for yours, but before we get into that, why don't we just kind of let the listeners know what each of these mats are? So I have the Field of Battle, it's number 406, which I got to say, I like that they number all their mats, and I don't know, they don't have 406 mats listed on their website, so I don't know what the numbers mean. Obviously, they tie to the specific mat, but like, where are the other 405 mats? Because
that is the 406th prototype. I'm making this up.
No, maybe it's true. And like, is the 4 a placeholder? Because some of the other mats have completely different numbers. They're not all like a 406 or 506 or whatever. Yeah, well, you have,
to have a series of bad ones, right? And then the 406th one was the one they were like, we're doing this one. This is the one that worked. So there you
maybe.
Go.
Maybe. The Field of Battle, it's a newer version of the Grassland mat. The one I have, it's a 4x6 feet plus, which is kind of an odd thing because you're like, oh, is it really 4x6 feet or what is it? And it's bigger. And we'll get into reason why for that later on. And I have it in a brand new finish that they just recently started to do for some of their mats, what they call the plush variant. And plush, we'll talk about a little bit more. It's a soft teddy bear fur, but it's short as well. So that's a Field of Battle one. It costs $69 for a standard version, or plush is $79. I also have a Tundra mat by them. It's number 129. Again, like what were the other 128, but whatever. It's a 4x6 plus. It's a standard mat. Same pricing as the other one. I get the desert map. Matt, I keep on referring to them as maps for some reason, and I don't know why. But in my head, I'm like, cigar box battle maps. And they're not maps, but they look kind of like a piece of cartography. So the desert one, same size. All the ones I got were 4x6s. And the desert one's actually a little cheaper because it doesn't have as much on it, is what I think. So for a standard, it's only $59. But if you want it in a plush version, it's more expensive. And then you have, I believe it's called the Frozen Ruins. Is that right? Correct.
Yep, that's right. I don't know if that has a number to it, though.
It does. It's number 201, because during my lunch break the other day, I was like, let me look up all the numbers and write them down, because I'm going to be super geeky and detail-oriented on this. Now, what size is yours?
So I ordered the 3x3. I'm sort of a skirmish gamer a little bit more. So I was a big fan of that size. That size is perfect for the games that I like.
So you wouldn't have wanted to get, like, I don't know, a 4x6 and then just use 3 feet by 3 feet of it instead and then be able to expand into the...
Well, my thought, and we can get into the story a little bit, unless you want to dive into that now.
Feel free, because so, I think it's a fascinating look at your thought process for this, which I'm sure other people have as well. Because when you first told me, my thought was originally what I just said, like, just get the larger size. Why didn't you get the larger size? And then you only use a smaller bit. And if you need more, you use the rest instead of having to buy a second mat.
I think for me, this is years ago now. So I think my thought process may have changed since then. But I, at the time, did not see myself playing anything that I would need a 4x6 for pretty much ever. And said, okay, well, maybe down the line, but 3x3 is what I want. The games that I want all fit on a 3x3. I didn't want overhang. I wanted it to fit on the table. I didn't want it to look like a gigantic tablecloth. And also, if you were to order something in a 6x4, the graphics on there will not necessarily fit on your table. So if, like, hypothetically, if you were to get Gettysburg, which I think they only make in 6x4, but let's just bear with me here. If you got Gettysburg as a 6x4 and you're playing on a 3x3 table, you're going to be missing about half of Gettysburg because the graphics are intended to be stretched through that.
No, that's a fair point. And you're right. Some of those more specific mats, like Gettysburg or whatever, I think they're actually part of a licensed game across the Deadly Field, and they have some other ones that are for specific things. But if you did get a larger size, you would lose what, even on the one you got, I think it does come in a larger version. It looks different from what yours is. But you would lose stuff if you were just like, I'm just going to use this, whatever. And that's part of the reason why I like the mats, because they have this, and I know we're going to say pros and cons for after, but, like, they have that, and you want to have that detail and use it in your game. So, like, don't cut it off.
Exactly.
Course, for a new person who doesn't know anything about them or know what the others look like, you're just like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So
right.
You couldn't afford a larger size, or, like, you just don't like large size? Like, what's wrong? So I can understand people being like, I don't understand. You need to explain.
So now, and that said, if you were to buy one of the more, I hate using this word because I think it's unfair, a generic looking mat. What I mean by that is something that does not have a lot of landscape features on it, but is just essentially a grassy terrain or a desert terrain, one of those sort of base terrains. You could get away easily with buying a large mat and playing on the part that you want to play on. Because there's not that many features that you'll be cutting off of it. So, you know, if you were the type of gamer that would jump between 6x4, 3x3, that is definitely a good way to go, I would say. But I wouldn't suggest picking something that has a lot of terrain feature to it and then expect that it's going to look great when you cut it to 3x3.
So, for example, you probably would be fine getting a Field of Battle number 406 or a Tundra 129 or a Desert 120 that you could cut back on. I'm poking fun at myself. If people are really curious what they look like, you should check out the website, but we also did an unboxing video, or rather I did, back before Christmas 2016. We'll have a link in the show notes so you can actually see. And for those watching live, I do have some of the mats, of my mats handy so that people can see in the video. But they come in really only two sizes. They come in the 3x3, and they come in the 4x6 plus. In the 3x3, it actually measures, 36 by 36 inches. But the 4x6 plus, and this is one of the things that I think is really cool about them, it's 56 by 76 inches. So that ends up being like, what is it? 4.4 by like 6 point whatever. And so you get a lot of mat there. And if your table is a little bit bigger, that's great. And I know we were just talking about placement of items on the mat, how that could be an issue. But it'll come in handy. And it's one of my pros, one of my things I like about it. You can also get them customized. So they have customer service. You can just contact them and they actually take turns doing customer service and they'll work with you to try to figure out what works best for you. And I'm not sure, but I think they might even slightly modify some of their stuff if you need it, but just standard customization, you can get hexes on your mats. They come in 1, 2, 3, and 4 inch sizes. I think that's included in the price. You can get some of the mats done in a circular size. So you get a 60 inch round instead of a square. I'm not sure what you would use a round mat for, to be honest. I haven't quite figured that out. And then you can also either get the standard, which is a really high quality fleece fabric, or you can get the plush fabric, which is a short teddy bear fur. And those are basically, other than picking what one you want, like, do you want the ocean? Do you want, you know, densely forested or whatever? These are just added things that they can do to them during the creation process of it. And I got to say, I found the whole process pretty seamless, actually, from, you know, going from the moment when I was like, this is what I want, to like actually working it out with them.
First of all, they're great guys. And if you've had any interaction with them, you'll see not only do they really enjoy gaming, but they really enjoy their product as well, as they should, because it's a fantastic product. They're extremely accessible by various social media means, stuff like that. They love seeing, I know that they love seeing their stuff out on people's tables, and why wouldn't they? But I wanted to kind of backtrack for one thing that we were talking about a second ago about the 4x6s being larger.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say for certain if the 3x3s are a little bit larger either. I mean, they're certainly 36 by 36, but they might have a little bit of quote unquote overhang as well. But the in the market of gaming mats, right? I believe, as far as I know, this is the only product that is made of this type of material. The rest are generally a mouse pad ish type material. So what does that give you exactly, right? So I'm watching you on this live stream hugging your mat, and I'm just totally losing concentration.
It's so good. It's so soft.
So the strength of having a kind of a floppy blanket as your mat, as opposed to a mouse pad, is you can do things with it that you would not normally be able to do. Why is that important? Well, let's just say you wanted to have hills in your terrain and you didn't want to buy yourself hills. Well, these mats make it so easy. You take a t-shirt, you take a towel, you take something, the mat, and you sculpt yourself a hill using the mat, which is something you cannot do with one of these mouse pad mats. And you are then able to customize how your terrain looks. And why getting back to the overhang, I don't know if this is completely intended, but one of the nice results of it being larger than 6x4 is that if you are playing on a 6x4 table and you want to put some hills on there, you're not cheating your table of coverage from the mat itself. So you can sculpt things up a little bit, still have plenty of overhang, still cover a 6x4 table. It's really, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. That is one of my many pros for this. And I have to imagine that they did that on purpose, because otherwise, why give you a little bit of extra? Because they're not going to want to spend the money just to be nice in case your 4x6 table is slightly larger. If anything, you might have a larger table, but you're not going to use that extra space because you might put a drink on it or whatever. And you're probably not going to want to put a drink on one of the mats. Not that you can't, but you're probably just not going to want to, is my guess.
You better not at my table.
I gotta say, I don't mind if people do with mine, because, and I haven't tested this yet, and again, this is going to be in part of my critical analysis on it. Before, it was a day or two ago before we recorded, I actually reached out to them because I wanted some clarification on stuff. And I said something to them like, you know, why can't you make a crappy product? Because I'm having a hard time finding bad things about it. And I want to be fair and balanced in the review, because otherwise it just sounds like you paid me off. And they just did like thumbs up, like good luck you. And I was like, well played, because there's so many really good things about this. Do you want to just dive into don't like about them?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to start us off? Because you've had yours the longest.
Okay. Well, first of all, so I'll speak specific to, I'll speak generally, but I'll also dive in specifically to my mat. We said I have the Frozen Tundra. Graphically, this thing is ridiculous. It is so awesome. I fell in love with it. And when you take a look at it on the website, I swear the pictures do not do it justice. You get it, and it has this beautiful, almost like electric blue highlighting to it, which artistically just grabs me. And, you know, I was really on the kick of like the Skyrim, Game of Thrones sort of feel at the time. And I was like, I need a winter mat for myself. And this was just completely fit the bill. And getting like that electric blue that I mentioned, it works in a myriad of settings. So we've used it for Operation Squad, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know we've used it for that, and obviously we've used it for my fantasy games that we've messed around with, Song of Blades, my own stuff.
To be named.
To be named. How many months after am I still not naming this? Anyway, but it gives. The look, it sells the look in either setting is my point. So you can take this if you want a winter mat, and they have other ones to choose from. I love this one. It just fits, I think, any setting that you want it to be played with. So I mean, graphically, it's just so strong, and I think that's the case. Even having seen the ones that you have as well, that quality is there throughout. So the biggest con I think you can say is that these mats look phenomenal, not just as a mat, but actually as part of your terrain, part of what as and you know me at this point, John, I am very, very big on how my table looks, to the point that I've declared that I could be interested in a game, and if the table does not look good, I might not be interested in the game as much. It's just, it matters to me. Otherwise, I have no problem playing board games, but I would play a board game if I wanted to move around blocks of wood, pieces of cardboard, yada, yada. When I play a war game, a miniatures game, I want my stuff to look as good as it possibly can. And these mats sell the look.
And I think for your specific mat, they actually list a variety of different games that they think would be well played on it. And they, if you click through on their website, they give you a lot more description, which is one of the things I love about them as a company. They very much care, as evidenced by their customer service and by their website, about your user experience. So they want you to have a product that you're going to like, that'll last, that'll be something you could use for whatever purpose you intend on the tabletop, but they want to make it easy for you. So they have all sorts of information. So you can like go on the website and you'd be like, oh, you click and you just look, and it tells you not just the stats about it, but it also be like for yours, for example, they say perfect for your games of Frostgrave, Mordheim, Dungeons and Dragons, Gaslight, etc. Let your imagination run wild. And it gives you actual descriptions for the mat. And so that way you have the pictures, so you can look at them. And some of the mats, I think they even give like more in-depth pictures, so they kind of zoom in so you can see some really cool detail, if there's some pretty good detail or not. And they will focus on that. But then they also have the textual descriptions. So if you're like, oh yeah, look at the picture, but like maybe I really want to read what they think is important, and then you can compare it to see whether or not that's important to you. So they have a very easy to navigate website. It's very well done. You can tell that at least one of the people, and it's true, but you can tell that they are at least aware of the importance of good design and how that plays into the customer's experience. I think a great example of one of the pros to them is the experience that you had when you ordered your mat, because you got it and there was a problem, right?
That's true. So, and I stopped. I started to tell the story a little bit when we were talking about the sizes that I ordered. So at this point, I'll give the full reveal on this. So yes, when I ordered my mat, and this is another obviously big pro that we're kind of talking about, customer service, standing by the product, I received my 3x3, which I said I ordered, and it was just slightly not 3x3. It was maybe 2 inches short, but it was kind of weird that it sort of tapered off into an angle. So maybe like the one corner started at 36 inches and then the other corner going down vertically was, I don't know, maybe like 34 or something like that. And so I reached out to them and, you know, none of these mats on the market are cheap. You know, they're worth what you're paying for them. But let's face it, we don't all have mat collection money running around all the time. I wish we did. There's a lot of mats I would buy if that was the case.
Speak for yourself. I mean, you only have one, I got three. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, maybe when I run a podcast,
you're on the show. Anyway.
So my mat was slightly off, in its dimensions. So I did write them and, I don't really want to get into what they did for me because I don't want other people to get in their mind that this is something that they should do. But they did stand by their product, and they really did take care of me, and they made sure that I was completely satisfied with what I had, and they worked with me to find an agreement for something that I'd be happy with.
I think the legal phrase is they made you whole.
Exactly. That's precisely it. So again, you know, I don't want to put them in a position where I say what they did because I think that, you know, I just don't want to give people ideas that, you know, if they report things not being correct, they can run around and, you know, enjoy benefits. Because, you know, I don't want anyone taking advantage of some really good people.
Well, I mean, they're smart guys. They can tell if something's legit or not. In sure. My case, when I approached them and I was like, hey, Wargaming Recon, blah, blah, blah. It turns out that I can't remember if it's one or both. They've listened to the show and they like the show. And I was like, really? I was like, you like the show?
No, I thought you said they were smart guys. You said they were smart guys, though, right?
And I was like, so could I review your stuff for the show? And like, how could we make this work? And so they're like, what do you want? And of course, I'm like, I'm a mat or two, or like, I don't know. What do you want to do? But they spent a ton of time with me, literally walking me through the process, trying to figure out what kind of gaming I like to do. And I wanted to get mats, first of all, that would be good to have on the show to review, because it's a purchase for the show, for me to use for the show to review and things that we do that can then be talked about on the show first and foremost. But also it had to make sense for me because like I'm not someone who's going to go and create like, I don't know, a Frostgrave army. It's just, it's not going to happen. So having a specifically engineered mat for Frostgrave would be dumb. So in as much as maybe listeners would enjoy hearing about it, if I'm not going to get enjoyment from it, I'm never going to take it out of the closet, which means it's never going to end up on the show and it's never going to have any table time. So it doesn't matter how good it is. It's just not going to happen. It'll be there. I'll be like, oh, that was nice. I got it and whatever. I'm done. Goodbye. So it had to be something useful to me. And so I talked with them. I was like, well, you know, I'm into black powder. They knew what black powder was. I was like, oh, awesome. I'm like, I'm into Hail Caesar. We want to start. Awesome. They knew what that was. I like Naval Wargaming. And like, we worked our way through. And so that's how we ended up getting these mats. And then I reached out to our buddy Adrian and I was like, so I can get some mats and I will review them on the show. What do you think we should, I don't know, have? Does this sound good? And so he gave his input, which was great. And that's actually how we ended up with the Tundra mat, because that will make an appearance at TotalCon for a bolt action game he and I are running. So ended up with all the mats to work things out. So that's how we have these review copies here for the show. And just by doing that, I was very impressed with their customer service. And I was probably a little needy, I will admit, in that I was like, I don't know what to do. I need you to handhold me because, like, what's the step? And at the same time, I was very much, I want this as much as possible to be a normal experience for what you would do for anyone else. Just because I said I'm from, you know, whatever, and you like my show, I'm flattered, but the review means nothing if I get tons of special treatment. So, like, if you're treating me better, don't, because I will tell people you treated me better because of the show, and they did not treat me better because of the show. Like, they treat everyone this way. It does not matter. So their customer service is just out of this world. It is really phenomenal. And even after that initial experience, I followed up with them about stuff to try and out how long things would take and how it worked and about payment and all that kind of stuff. And even since then, I followed up with them and like, I'll just send them message and be like, hey, how's it going? And they reply back, we're doing really well. How are you doing? And like, we talk about kids and stuff, and they're just, they're phenomenal people. And
they're gamers.
And they are.
They are gamers that have an idea and are making good on it, but they love the miniature gaming scene just as much as anybody listening. You see, if you find them on Facebook, they'll post their own pictures of games, and it usually looks pretty nice. So if I'm ever down that way, I hope to get an invite. I'm shamelessly going to plug myself to get invited to their games now.
Well, like many of us, one thing that I really liked is they have families. And so they understand what it's like. Like, we can't always get out. We can't do whatever. And you need something because you have a family that someone else in your family, whether it's a significant other or a kid or whatever, they may not understand the importance of these things. And they just might be like, that is my wife's or my husband's special gaming thing. Or that's mommy or daddy's whatever. And that you want it to stay nice and that not everyone else might understand what needs to be done to do that. So in addition to have this really good customer service, they created, like you had mentioned, this incredibly well-made, very high quality item. And when I got them, I was like, okay, I opened them for the unboxing and I'm looking, I'm like, I need a look and I want to look at the stitching. Like, what does the stitching look like? Is it sewed? How are they? And I don't know anything about sewing, but I know people who do. So I showed it to them. I was like, tell me, if you saw this, would you be impressed and why? Or would you not and why? And they were over the moon. They're like, this is really well done. And they could tell that a lot of time and effort had been put into it. And just looking at the amount of detail on the surface of them, they could tell that the actual raw material is very high quality. And that I don't even know how they get the, I don't know what to call it, the artwork, the illustrations, how they get all of the stuff onto the mat. Like,
there isn't a degree of wizardry, I think, that is involved with how they're doing this, because it's pretty cool that they can get these things printed out and maintain, especially like a plush quality, like the plush ones.
Yeah. Like
how does that work?
It doesn't fade. I kept it out in the sun. It doesn't fade. If you get crap on it, you spill a drink on it, you can throw it in the washing machine. Now, I got to say, I have not done that yet because they didn't want me to do it with these. So they're sending me a foot sample of cloth for me to just let my toddler play with and have at it. And then once it's all like really mucked up, I'm going to throw it in the washing machine. They even said, although on the website, you are not encouraged to put it in the dryer, but they're like, if you put it in the dryer for like 5 seconds, not literally 5 seconds, but a short span of time, you're probably going to be okay. But generally you hang it up, but like, you can wash them. Whoever heard of washing this kind of stuff? Like, you have your standard, whatever kind of gaming surface, and you get crap on it. Well, you got to buy a new one because you're not going to be able to do anything. And you can tell it's in addition to the high quality, it's durable. So you spend the money on it, but it's going to last. And if you get something, whether it's something like what you got, Alex, or if you get something a little more generic, like I wanted, something like this that I could use for whatever conflict. So I got the Field of Battle one. So I could do North America. I could do Western Europe. I could do, just about anywhere. And whatever you put on it kind of adds a little bit more to it. So it allows you to kind of zoom in on whatever the specific locale is, but you still have the same surface. So you add these together and you come up with this incredibly, surprisingly so actually, high quality product that I never would have imagined. I've seen homemade stuff, like homemade teddy bear fur, and it's nice, but I'm always like, I don't know. It, like, that should be a teddy bear and not on my gaming table,
Just to speak to the durability really quickly, there's a really funny pic on, I think it was Facebook that I saw it of, and I don't remember which one of them, but one of them at their kid's soccer game wrapped up in one of the mats as a blanket, sitting on the sideline, cold, rainy day, wearing a mat also too. So not only can you use it for gaming, but it does offer warmth and protection in a storm.
When I opened the plush mat for like a day and a half, I had it wrapped around me like I was wearing a cape. Like I had to play pretend or whatever. But I said to my wife, so feel this. And she's like, weird, but okay. And she's like, it's soft. I said, yes, really soft, right? And she's like, yeah. I said, don't you think this would look good on our bed because it could be a blanket? And she just looked at me like I was ridiculous. But I was like, come on now.
So
softer than a blanket.
Weird. You're weird. We know this. But I share your feeling on that. I don't know that I wore mine, but I do have this delusional idea of hosting like a Thanksgiving dinner with like a big 6x4 mat of Gettysburg or something like that, and get your peas over on the west, the turkey over to the east or something like that, because they are big enough to fit over dining room tables.
And I think even the standard mats, I think they're pretty soft too. And you know, when you're playing a game, softness shouldn't be a factor, but because these are so versatile, I think it kind of matters. And I don't know about you, but there's been times I've been at, say, a gaming day or a convention or whatever, and my skin's a little dry, and I try to move figures around. I put my hand down on the table, and like my dry skin catches on it. You ever have that happen? Like if you're wearing a sweater, it'll do it sometimes. And no, legit. So like I've had it happen, and like it pulls and it hurts, and you're like, oh crap, you don't have to worry about that with this.
You should see if you can do a review of some gaming lotion. They must make some.
That would be so bad in so many ways.
Some gaming hand lotion. But I'm glad that you found a mat that caters to your dry skin.
I have very soft hands in general because I don't do a lot of manual labor. Just me and manual laborers should make anyone laugh. So I try to moisturize. This is an odd conversation to talk about gaming mats, but it's pertinent. And like,
they're going to regret this review.
Oh, they're so going to hate. They're going to be like, that Jonathan, what a jerk. We're never doing anything with him again. But specific to the plush mats, in addition to being so soft, and like, I literally cannot stop touching this plush mat throughout this entire recording. It's on my lap, and I'm just like, oh, you are so soft. I love you so much. Because they're made out of short teddy bear fur, first of all, you don't have to worry about it being so long that the actual teddy bear fur looks taller than like trees and shrubs that you might have on your table, which I've seen happen. Mm-hmm. But it's long enough so that you kind of get a little bit of a 3D effect if you rub it the opposite way so that it stands up. So if you do that, it might look like the grass or whatever your surface is. Like
you got it, gives a sand dune.
Yeah, so you have that little bit of shadows in there. And depending on the scale of figures that you're using, that can also help to keep your models in place too. Or it could give a nice effect of you had a whole battalion of troops come through, and so you mess it up so it looks like they walked through. You could tell the direction that they walked, kind of like when you mow your lawn and you go opposite ways and the grass one way looks darker than the other, you get that nice pattern there. It's the same kind of thing with it.
Let me pause you for 1 second too, if you don't mind.
No, absolutely.
You mentioned scale, and I don't think we brought this up yet, but the majority of these mats do support 28, 15, and I'd assume even smaller. I think for the most part, each mat says what scale it does support as well. I think that's important to note.
It is.
But I think you can get away with it. Most of these mats, I think, will basically cover you for 28 and 15.
Some of them that have any sort of road or road-like surface, they'll say it's like a 2-inch road or a 4-inch, and that it'll be better for, say, 15 mil or 28 mil or something like that. I would really say that they're not intended for the largest scales. If you're doing like a 54 or 40, you could probably get away with 40 mil, something for like day of battle or anything like that. But 54 or even bigger, you're probably not going to want to use just one of these. But again, if you're doing that, you're going to have like 3 or 4 tables together too. So just something to be mindful of with that. And if you're going like 10 mil, you should be okay. 6 mil for most of them, I think you're right. You're probably okay. But again, anything with the road, I'm not sure they have anything exactly specifically engineered for like, say, 6 mil. But they know people play Ancients, and most people who play Ancients, they're not doing 15 mil. They're not doing 28 or GW Heroic 28, which is really 35 mil. They're not doing that. They're doing 6 or 8 or 10 mil.
I can't find this right when I need it, but they do have a specific Ancients mat as well, and I might be making that up or dreaming it. I'm not sure. I feel like I saw it earlier, but I do think it's on there. I'll have to double check the gigantic list. See, and that's the other thing. Again, we've talked about, you and I have focused specifically on sort of general terrain stuff, but they have things that support specific dungeon type layouts. They have sky. They do space for those that are for like X-Wing, that sort of thing, and I assume it's for Blood Bowl, right? The pitch, the one that has the pitch on it.
I think that is crazy? A Blood Bowl one. I've been trying to some of our mutual friends to buy it because they're really into Blood Bowl. I'm like, you just buy the mat. You won't regret it. It's not licensed for Blood Bowl, so it can't be called a Blood Bowl mat, but it's intended for any sort of fantasy football type game, and not like fantasy. You go into a pool with your friends and watch Sunday Night Football, but like fantasy, like elves and dwarves are playing football, kind of football.
Oops, I think I lost you there for a second.
So I think they just kind of steer clear of it, of using that name for licensing reasons, because Games Workshop is, well, Games Workshop. At least that's my guess.
Right. So, I mean, again, just I think I did cut out there for one quick second, but the choices are immense. I can't imagine a gaming situation that this doesn't fill for somebody. I mean, if you have, I would be interested to hear what gaming situation you have that they don't have a mat for.
I think you're right. They seem to have them all covered. And one of the great things that you had mentioned earlier was that because for the 4x6 plus size anyway, you do have that extra bit of fabric. I really think they want you to put stuff underneath so that you can have a more natural contouring. So we've all been at tables, right, where someone plops a hill down on top of the thing and you're like, oh, it's a hill, but there's those gaps between the table and the hill and it doesn't look quite like it matches or whatever. And you're sure people spent a lot of time making it or they paid a lot of money to buy them, but still, like, putting a grassy hill on a snowy table or a desert table just seems a little weird. So with these, you don't have to worry. You put it underneath, so you actually have multiple levels or layers, like a cake of terrain. So you'd actually have your hills underneath, and you put the mat over it, so you'd have the mat there, and then you contour it, which makes it easier for you to get your models on so they don't, like, slide off or whatever. And then you can put other stuff on top of the mat. So you actually have the mat itself, right, which has its own sort of design work. And then you put stuff on top of the mat, so you can put buildings, you could put other terrain on their trees, forests, whatever. And you can even put hills on top if you wanted as well. So you'd have like the contoured stuff that looks like when you actually go to Gettysburg, what it looks like. Because you go to the battlefield, the hill's not sitting on top of the ground. That's just not how life is. It is the ground and it's been moved. So I like that it's a little more realistic in an authentic feeling with the mats so that you can do that. But you can't do that if you have the exact size. So it's nice that they have it expanded so that you can do that.
Right. And I think that, you know, again, I'm harping on this concept of being able to put things under the mat. It does actually save you money if you invest in the mat, and then you don't need to worry as much about, you know, maybe some of these other features that you would also be buying had you just bought a regular mat.
Well, like with hills, don't spend money on a hill.
That's exactly what I mean.
Buy polystyrene and just leave it unadorned and put it underneath and you're done.
Right.
Oh, you don't even have to use. I mean, for the beginning, I used books, and I know some people roll up towels or T-shirts, and I'm not a fan of the towel or T-shirt method because I think it causes some gameplay issues. But if you're in a pinch, you do it, and use DVD cases, Blu-ray cases, use, I don't know, some other toys or whatever you put underneath. But even if you just got a hill form and you put it right there, and you're fine.
And, you know, and it's worth mentioning, I wouldn't rate this necessarily as a con, but when you do this, right, it depends on the bases that you use. If you're walking 28 millimeters, 28 mil on regular round bases, and you put them on sort of a book made hill or something like that, there's a good chance they're going to fall off a little bit. Trays, they work no problem. If you're, for some reason, have single 15 millimeter guys, you know, on single bases, like I do. I know. Anyway, I do it, and they'll fall. They will fall, but I think that I'm definitely in the minority of putting 15 millimeter guys on single bases.
In so many ways, but we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
Do you have any other things you like about the mats or your experience with the company that you think are important for people to hear?
Well, let's see. Why don't we keep going? I'll keep thinking, because I'm sure I've missed something.
Because as hard as it was, I actually managed to find some things that I dislike.
I know you did, and I'm ready to tell you why you're wrong.
So one of the first things I dislike, and this is not necessarily a problem, but it's something that I think people need to be aware of, especially in this day and age where we are so used to being able to get anything we want so quickly. And I know that's more of an American kind of thing, but even throughout Western Europe, it happens where you're just like, I want whatever. You can go to the corner store, you order it online, and it shows up free from Amazon Prime in 2 days with free 2-day shipping, and you just paid for the thing. It's this, like, I wanted it 5 minutes ago kind of culture, because we often can get that kind of thing. It takes a while to get these, okay? So from the minute that, not literally the minute, but from the time that you place the order and you actually click submit and you pay them, make sure you pay them, from that moment to the time that it gets into your hand, it's probably going to be anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks. The reason is they are made to order. By and large, I honestly feel they do not need to be made to order. I think they should have some in stock. The most popular ones that they sell the most in the most popular configuration, whether that means it's a plush version, whether it has some sort of hex or whatever size. I'm not saying they need a lot, and obviously it's going to cost money because then they got to store them somewhere. And I don't know what their operation's like, so I don't know. I'm doubting they have a warehouse, but like in their basement, or I think they actually have legit office space. Like they actually rent office space, I believe, but put it in the corner or something. They don't take up a whole lot of room when they're all folded up in the packaging and stuff. They should have some there so that way they can send out right away. When I had ordered and I had seen and they told me how long it was going to take, I actually thought that there would be enough time that I would get it and everything and have it ready for, there was a gaming event we were doing, I think. It was the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon. And I said to them, well, I think it's right around the cusp. Do you think you'll be able to get this out and get it to me in time for this? Because I was like, it's a big fundraiser. I'm going to have people over. It's going to be live streamed. It's going to be a thing. It'll be talked about a lot on the show, plus whatever else. And they're like, we'll see what we can do. But it takes 3 to 4 weeks because they need to compile everything. They actually have to submit the order. It actually has to get made, packaged up. They verify that everything's right. A lot of quality control. So I understand it, again, because it's a very high quality item. But 3 to 4 weeks, if I wasn't reviewing it, I may have looked at that and been like, you know, I don't know if I want to deal with it because I want it now. And is that fair? Not necessarily, but I think in this day and age, they should have some sort of stock in hand. So that's a problem, I think. And it's understandable to a certain degree because, again, they are a small company. So I try to cut them some slack for that, but not everyone's going to do that. Some people are going to be like, I don't care. I can get something else that maybe won't be as good, but it'll be good enough and I can get it quicker, and that's what matters. So I think that's an important negative to consider. But at the same time, it's also kind of a pro because they're made to order, so you can get it however you want. You could get it that 60-inch circular. You could get it the plush. You could get it with the hexes on. You could get whatever else, and you can talk to them, and they might do some modifications. I don't know. They have that extra really good customer service, so it's something to consider, I think.
Right. So I think that, you know, I'm hesitant to call that a con because there's a lot of small businesses where, you know, you want to order something and it does take a while. You know, we do live in the Amazon world where, goodness, I mean, we might be seeing one day shipping pretty soon in our area, which is pretty crazy.
They already do it in the city.
Do they? But so this is a hobby where patience really pays off, I think. And, you know, I think people going into it, if you're already into this sort of hobby, then you're probably aware that, you know, a lot of times I've ordered things from overseas, miniatures that I've seen, I liked, wanted to have. And I think that I may have forgotten that I've ordered them by the time they've come and started painting other things by then. And then I saw them and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this was awesome. And may or may not have gotten to it by now. I think wait times for a lot of wargamers is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I think it's just something we're used to. Is it something to consider when making that order? Yeah, of course. You know, if you have an event or a convention or a game that you're running and you want it, you got a plan. But you know, to your point, it's custom to a very, you know, to a hefty degree. And yeah, maybe some of the more generic ones could be stocked. But you know, I think that would be something they would have to take a look at and see what's their volume of orders for each type of mat, because I would imagine that people are just wildly different in what they want. I mean, what do you do? Do you make a bunch of the generic mats with no hexes, with hexes? How do you approach that? The logistics there seem like they might be a little bit more difficult. I imagine that probably the most base thing to do is have like a few unhexed, you know, green field-ish mats, and you're probably good to go. And maybe that cuts down your time by a little bit. But ultimately, like I said, wargaming is a hobby where we kind of live like turtles a little bit anyway.
This definitely is a little bit more of a boutique item, but at the same time, they do wholesale orders. And I can't imagine I don't know who they do wholesale orders to. I know they have there's a vendor overseas in the UK that sells it for them.
That's true.
But the vendor's probably not going to be like, I'm going to wait like 4 months for you to get all my stuff done. And again, I'm not saying they take 4 months. It's 3 to 4 weeks is what they estimate. And when they gave me that estimate, I got a tracking number after it shipped and things came pretty quickly for me. They really did. But in this day and age, you know, you get a little slack because you're a small business. You get a little bit of slack because of the high quality of the item and stuff. But in this day and age, really, it's not going to cost a whole lot to have something in stock so that you can try to push stuff out. And maybe they do keep a few things in stock. They just didn't happen to have in stock for what I was doing, or I don't know. But 3 to 4 weeks, I think it's too much because really, for something like this, you're not talking about a specific model that you need, whatever. You want your table to look good. But for something like this, for most people and for most wargamers, they'll say either I have something already that's good enough or I'll just get something else. And so I think the 3 to 4 week thing is a problem. Unless it's very specific, like they want that fantasy themed football thing, or they want cool whatever for a game of Frostgrave or something like that. Unless it's for something big like that, then I don't think it's going to be like for that. They're going to be like, oh, I need, cause it's, I've waited my life. I've saved up my money and I really want this very special thing and it's going to be okay. But if it's someone who's like, I could use a nice tabletop surface to put over whatever I get for a table or to bring to the game store or to the club or whatever, and then they say 3 to 4 weeks, I think they're going to be like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to. So I think that's an issue. I also think people need to be aware they are not cheap. We've kind of danced around it a little bit, and we mentioned the prices. The average 4x6 foot plus mat is $69 American. A plush version of it is $74, and a 3x3 foot version is $55. Some of them are a little cheaper. I don't think any of them are significantly more. So those are general price ranges. Because I was like, I don't have anything better to do and I want to be extra detailed, I figured out what it costs per square foot for this. So for a 4x6, I'm just going to refer to it as a 4x6 size mat. But for a 4x6 mat, it costs $2.33 per square foot of fabric for us, the consumer. And for a plush version, it costs $2.68 per square foot. If you get a 3 foot map, a 3x3, it costs $6.11 per square foot. And my numbers might be roughly off, but I have the computer do it because computers are better at math than I am. And, you know, I don't know really what a fair cost for that is. Because, I mean, fabric costs something. So they got to pay for the raw material, of course. They need a markup to cover their whatever because they're not a nonprofit. They're in it to make money. They're a business, and I don't begrudge them that. I think the price is a little high, to be honest. It's a really good quality item. And I think part of it is because they're a small business. And so, of course, as a small business, you can't do that economy of scale thing. And if they were a larger business, I think they would lose some of the other stuff. They'd lose some of the customer service and all that kind of other stuff. But this is a hefty investment for someone to make, I think, in wargaming, whereas they could spend this money to buy like the new Blood Bowl, or they could buy a rule book. They could buy a bunch of miniatures that they're going to paint, a whole paint set or things like that. And I think for a lot of people, they would consider this a luxury item, whereas they'd be like, I want a nice looking table, but that's something it can wait because if I don't have the minis, it doesn't matter. If I don't have the rules, it doesn't matter. So I think that there is value here, and I think it's definitely worth having. I love my mats, and I think if I had the money, I would buy a gazillion of them in full price and everything. I'd buy every single one they had. I absolutely would. But I think for most people, they're a bit of a reach for the price. And are they justified at the price? I honestly don't know. I'm not saying like they should be like $20 a mat because I think that's ridiculous. But for a plush mat, for example, you're talking about a jump of $6 for 4x6. Is it worth $6 for the plush? I don't know. I love it, but I'm not sure it's worth almost $75. Plus, I think you'd have to pay shipping and handling.
So I love you, but I definitely am going to disagree again, and more vehemently than the last time. Because I get your stance on shipping. However, so I think you have maybe the wrong approach. Let me tell you what I mean. Are they pricey? Yes. Are they a luxury item for a gaming setup? Of course. Are they priced lower than other mats on the market though? And I believe the answer is yes. At least when I was shopping. So. One of the other competitors out there, again, with these mouse pad style style ones, it appeared to me at the time, and again, I bought mine several years ago, and I know you got yours more recently, These mats, the cigar box mats, were at least $20 cheaper than any of these other ones. And from my point of view, it's better quality. I do like these mouse pad ones. I think they have a little less utility. So I believe that for a 6x4 mat, regardless of the price per square foot, I think you're still getting a really, really good deal. And I think you're going to beat the price on many other mats that are out there. So I think, you know, I understand your approach. I think the approach also you have to take a look at is what else is on the market if you're in the market for a mat. And I think that you'll find, again, at least from when I was looking, it's a great deal. I was going to make another point, but I hear you getting ready to jump.
No, it's just
going to attack.
I have to say, I did not do research to see what other companies are offering for mats and to see how looking for comparables. So I didn't look at that, but I have in the past looked at other mats, and this is clearly anecdotal, so people should take it with a grain of salt, but I feel like other mats were cheaper. And it really, the hard thing with this is that there's nothing like these mats. You'll find other mats that you can use, other things you can put on your tabletop. These are unique, and I'm going to do people the honor of not modifying the word unique, because you can't modify unique. Something's unique or it's not. These are unique. And don't get me wrong, they are fantastic mats. I absolutely 110% endorse them. I think they're something everyone should have. I think people need to find the one or two that will fit most of their gaming needs, and you should save up and you should get them. For me, that's the bottom line. But I think for most gamers, it comes back to, and I think you agreed with me, Alex, they are a luxury item. So, of course, as a luxury item, that limits your market share, right, for what people are going to get. We compiled lists of what we wanted for, like, our holiday gift guide. Like, what would we like to get? And I don't think either one of us had a mat on there. And partly it could be because
we both have them.
We have them. But at the same time, like I said, I want more mats. Like I do, but it didn't make my list. What made my list as a luxury item? It was to have someone paint all my models, or not all, but like paint an army for me and things like that. And I think most gamers would do something like that instead of having a mat. And I think part of it is because of the price point. Now, I think you do have a completely valid point in that when you look at the price and you look at what you're getting, and I can't overstate this, these are incredibly high quality. They are very well made. They are extremely durable. And you can wash them, okay? Again, I haven't done it, but you can wash these, okay? So you look at the other mats that are out there. Whether they cost more, they cost less. Are they going to be similar? Are they going to suit your needs? And I don't know the answer to that. That's something that each gamer has to decide for themselves. I think, though, for something like this, it's very important to make sure that we make people aware that when we're reviewing this, that the price is a factor. And, of course, anyone who goes to the website and heard at the beginning of our episode, we're like, it's $69 for this, or it's $55 for a 3x3. People are going to be like, oh, $55. Is that something I can afford to do? Is it not? This is going to make me backpedaling a little bit more. Wargaming in general is kind of a luxury hobby, I guess you could
sure,
say.
It is.
A lot of us, I think, are interested
in... It's kind of the definition of hobby anyway, but, you know,
you can do a lot of hobbies that are really cheap.
Sure, but a hobby implies that it's a luxury thing to do.
Well, yeah, but not necessarily in resources other than, say, time.
There are cheaper hobbies than some, yes.
Like this is financially luxurious, yeah. Or it can be. And I think a lot of us try to find ways to do it on the cheap so that you can do stuff that's still going to look nice and you can get a nice effect where it's not going to cost you half a paycheck or whatever. And these are not going to cost you half a paycheck. They're not.
No. But
for most people, if it's between buying one of these and it's buying the next thing they need for their army, most wargamers are not going to pick this. And I think part of it is a combination of that delivery time and the whole process of that, the 3 to 4 week thing. But I think part of it is just going to be the price. I mean, you and I are parents, and let's say our kids are old enough that they're going to be doing the hobby, but they're not old enough where they have their own money. And so they're relying on us, and they come in and your daughter comes up to you and says, Dad, I really want one of these mats because it's perfect for the game I want. And you look at the price and it's $69. Or my daughter comes to me and says, Dad, can I get it? And it's $69. I'm going to say no, because $69 is a lot of money and I don't care how good it is. And I think a lot of parents are in that boat. And of course, Is it always going to be kids buying these? No. There's a lot of grown-ups who have more than enough disposable income, and $69 is going to be perfectly fine. But for a lot of people, it's an issue. And I think it's absolutely important to highlight it. And in this day and age, really put a spotlight that you're getting a lot of value here, but we can't underestimate the high cost involved.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be curious to see what listeners think in terms of these being on the more expensive side or the less expensive side in terms of what's on the market, because obviously we differ in that opinion. And again, I freely admit when I looked, it was 2-3 years ago. I can't quite remember at this point. But you know, as someone who values the way a table looks as much as the game itself, this to me is not just a worthwhile investment, but I would say that aside from actually having miniatures to push around, it's the best investment that you can make on your table, because you could get away with a lot of other things because this thing looks so good. And I think, so, I mean, I'm trying to, you'd mentioned something about like where, you know, how people would prioritize this in terms of being a luxury item. And at least in my mind, and it is why I did actually pay, because, you know, I make a lot of my own terrain, for the most part. I pay my own guys, make my own terrain. I will buy some things here and there. Unless you are an artist and a darn good one, you cannot make your own floor, if you will, for your table, right? And if you do, generally you're going to be actually doing it to the wood, so graining it yourself with some sort of gravel or something like that. And then it's not just take it off and put a new one on. So I would suggest that this is the next most important thing to get for your table in terms of selling a nice cinematic look, a mat in general. And I just happen to really like these ones. But if it's me, I would go models. I would go, what's my table? Because even if I just had trees from Joanne Fabrics or Michaels or something like that put in there afterwards, or dollar store foam that I then cut up and made like into piles of bricks, sells. And you've seen that's basically the level of my terrain making anyway. I enjoy making my own terrain. I am not an artist by any means, but I also don't always want to spend a lot of money on the next piece of terrain that I want. I have an idea in my head, and sometimes I'll try to just put it out the best I can. But having so I guess my way of saying it is, if you take an okay picture in the case of my terrain, you can put a really nice frame on it and still make it look good. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think we're basically saying similar things, but coming at them from different sides.
Sure.
I think for, as it pertains to cost, the key thing that listeners should be aware is whether or not we think it's worth the money. Because for me, I think it's an expense that most people aren't going to be willing or able to do. However, I do think for the price, like I said, it's unique. You can't replicate this. You can't get anything similar to it. And when you have it, it's going to last. It's reusable. And it does make everything look better. So it decreases the importance on having certain terrain types to put on top. Because for most of the mats, I think you could put them on your table and you might not need anything else. And I think you're okay. You might need a little imagination to be like, the building that's on the mat is 3D or whatever, when it's not, because it's on the mat. But you can get away without having other stuff. So that does save you time. It does save you some money. And it's important to note. I would love if they're like, we all just had enough money, we could buy like a gazillion of these, because they are fantastic mats. I love them. And I've seen these in person with other, and I can't remember what the other ones are, but other ones side by side. And I've liked both. And the other ones just didn't hold up to me, because these have that kind of X factor to it, that there's something special about it. But at the end of the day, even knowing that, I do think because of the price, and the price is the price, and it has to be the price, you know, because of things cost what they cost, and there are expenses for the company, and they need to make a profit. And so they have to set the price at what they have to set the price at. They can't just be like, I'm going to decide it's $49 instead of $69 because we don't like that at $69. And if it costs them like $50 to make the mat, it costs them $50 to make the mat. And that's what it is. And so like their time's valuable. And that's why people go into business. So we got to be mindful of that. But at the same time, like and they know this because they're not dumb, but they know not everyone's going to buy a mat. It doesn't matter how good it is. It's just that not everyone's going to be able to afford it. And if you have the money, it's great to be able to afford it. But even for me, I love these and I want more. And when I get money, I will get more. But they are nowhere near as important as other items for Wargamers. And that's just kind of an editorial aspect for me. But from a strict, like, nuts and bolts kind of things, the price is a fair price. It's just, it's a lot of money is what it is. But it's fair price for the product. And
fair price for the product, for sure.
And that's a complete...
Philosophically, I disagree with you is in terms of what's more important.
Well, you're wrong, but I did have one other...
Yeah, that doesn't matter. We'll disagree. I did have one other con.
Yes, really? What?
Yes. This is really my only con.
Oh, okay, no, you're wrong before you start, but what is it?
As I've tried to debunk you on your cons, you can do the same to me. And they're going to kill me because I've gone to them a few times, I'll say, with this exact question and then sort of rib them a little bit afterwards when they told me they weren't doing it. I want these mats in 4x4.
Why?
I have a very personal reason, as you know.
Yeah, okay, but that aside, what really makes any sense for a Wargamer to want one of these in 4x4? What game requires 4x4 place area?
If I recall, War Machine / Hordes is 4x4, I think.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. So other than that...
Well, right, and that's not a game I play.
I have a technical problem with that whole system. So them aside... I think they might actually be 3x3, to be honest.
Okay, I don't know. I feel like, and I don't have any offhand, that there are a few 4x4s. And I promise you, I will deliver you a list of what I can get up there so that I can at least back up that claim. My reason, if my purpose on this call, on this podcast, is obviously personal. My table happens to be a 4x4 table, and I want to have a complete covering of that playing surface. I don't want to have the overhang. In fact, I can't have the overhang because I have it sort of inset in the table. And 3x3 works, but it's not full coverage of the gaming space. So that's my con.
I stand corrected. War Machine does require, or Warmer Hordes, I guess I should say, does require a 4x4 for a small game, but most people like to up their points and play on a 6x4.
Sure. So I thought that was the case because I did have a brief stint in that game. And I want to say that there may be a few Osprey ones that use that. I think something like, again, I understand 6x4 is usually standard. I obviously know that. But something like Lion's Rampant, I think, is like suggested smallest table size 4x4. You know, I have interest in that. So there's a few games that I look at. I'm more just nitpicking at this point. 3x3 is fine. But when they do decide to do a 4x4, I'll be happy.
Well, like I said to them, and I'll say to you, Alex, again, and I'll say to all the listeners, I had a really hard time finding anything about the company and the mats and the way they do business that I could even consider a con. And I will freely admit the price and the time from order to delivery might be a stretch. And for a lot of people, it's not going to matter. But I was like, I need to find something.
Right. And you're trying to be fair. And I get that. I mean, ultimately, you know, and I didn't mean to just jump on your wave.
No, that's completely fair, though, for you to be like, no, you're wrong. Because, like I said, wargaming's kind of a luxury hobby in a way. And if you're going to buy it, if you're even looking at a mat and thinking you want a mat, you know you're going to have to spend some money. So, right.
And when you do think about it, too, so, you know, in the U.S. anyway, a video game is going to cost you about $60, right? So you're talking about, you know, either slightly less or slightly more for something that's going to last you much longer, assuming that you're in a hobby that, you know, you're going to play for a while. I would not just say go out and buy mats willy-nilly if you're, you know, 3 months into the hobby.
Oh, I would.
But if you... Yeah, would you? Yeah, that's... Well, I did just say it's the second most important thing. So, so go ahead, please. Buy mats willy-nilly and send me one while you're there. Now you made me lose my point.
For you, what's your bottom line for the mats? What sums up your opinion on them?
Two thumbs drastically up I mean, again, my own personal situation where they stepped in, stood by their product, took care of something that I had a concern with. It was great. It was, I mean, what can you ask for? The graphics, I've already spoken volumes of, it just looks good. It pops, it makes your table complete. And I think that, as you said, they're unique. They can do stuff other mats can't. And their look is also unique. And I don't mean graphically, I mean, because they are made out of cloth, they have more depth in my opinion, than a flat mat would. So two thumbs, like, enthusiastically way, way up.
Cool. I think I would have to say the company is a joy to deal with, that if you choose to do business and buy anything from them, you're going to be very pleased with what you got. And that's an understatement. They are just fantastic. They know what they're doing. They do it exceedingly well. The product is incredibly well made, extremely durable. It's going to last you a long time. It's going to last you until you decide you're not gaming anymore and you're going to give it to a friend or a family member who's going to be like, I want a game. And they will get a lifetime of use out of it because it is just, it's amazing. Really well done. They're always expanding. These things they're just fantastic. There's no other way to say it. They are one of the best pieces of wargaming equipment I've ever come across in my time of being a wargamer. So I think people really need to consider looking at them. And if you have a need for it, you should check it out and buy one. If you do, please let them know that you decided to do so because you heard about them on the show here. And so you can go to our show notes and we have a link to them in there and you'll be able to buy whatever. I do want to say they have some new ones coming out for the new game Rommel, because they work with Mr. Sam Mustafa a lot for his products in his Honor series. And so Rommel's the next one coming out, and they have at least one, if not more than one mat intended for that. So I'm excited to see what that looks
that's
like.
That's cool. That's really cool. One other high compliment that I'll give. So in addition to everything that I've said about these mats, I like to take pictures of my miniatures, my painting, and put them on Facebook, wherever, the groups that I'm part of, to sort of show off, try to capture things in some sort of a cinematic way. And when I mean show off, I don't really mean show off, but show my work. I don't think I'm the world's greatest painter by any means. I think I enjoy it and I'm decent at it. And I think I take decent pictures when I do. And I'll often get compliments on my painting, but more often I will hear people ask, hey, where did you get that mat? What is that? Did you make that? And then I have to shamefully say, no, I did not make that. I bought it, and I tell them where. And I think that's really, if you want that sort of reaction when people see your stuff, I know everybody plays miniature games, war games for different reasons, but some people like the art side of it. Some people like to show off their armies, and that this is the type of piece that complements that whole look and really gives you that cinematic look and feel that I know I want, and I'm assuming other people want as well.
So we're moving into one of my favorite sections of the show, the mailbag segment, where we get to hear about listener comments and feedback and things of that sort. So we have a little bit of listener feedback from Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at wargamingrecon.com/Facebook. And listener Lord J of Jayington said of episode 174, which is the self-publishing your game with Gabriel Landowski episode, quote, I still have 25 minutes again of the latest episode. It's great. What an interesting discussion, unquote. So thank you, Lord J of Jayington, for writing in, and I'm glad you liked the episode. Alex, I know you weren't able to be with us for that episode, but it was quite a really just exceptional discussion there. A lot of fun.
It was a great discussion.
Gabriel and Mike decided to gang up on me, which is, it's fine because I'm the first one to make fun of myself. If anyone else wants to make a comment about an episode and give some feedback, you can do so on our Facebook page. And who knows, you might just have that read on air. And I think we'll have to have Gabriel back on sometime down the road because it was really good. And I think he has quite a few more episodes in him. But it's hard because we only come out every other week. And there's so many topics and events and people that we want to have on. And having the same person on more than once is tricky. But if not later this season, maybe in 2018 or 2019 or...
Yeah, that was a really good episode. It was cool. Nice stuff to hear.
I learned a lot, and that's one of the things I really enjoy about the show because I get to meet so many people and learn all sorts of cool things and just so many stories from him. It'll be fascinating because I'm hoping you'll be able to, but I will definitely be at Huzzah in May and he'll be there. So I'll get to hang out with him a little bit and see if he tries to press me into running a game for him, which would be fun. And speaking of events, I actually have some announcements. First of all, I want to remind everyone that TotalCon is coming up, and that is February 23 to the 26th, 2017 at the Best Western in Marlboro, Massachusetts. I will be there. Adrian will be there. He and I will be there Friday through Sunday, and Mike Payne will be there on Saturday. Adrian and I are running a Saturday afternoon bolt action game. It's full, but if you are interested and you want to come, I think you should come anyway in case people don't show up. Mike's going to be running his Hang High game at 1 o'clock on the Saturday. And then I have my convention schedule up online because there's going to be a listener meetup and some open gaming. And then Adrian and I are doing a live recording of the show in the TSR playroom. So we're going to talk about the convention and the games we played and all that kind of stuff. That will come out as a podcast episode for all of you on March 13th. And I want to give my special thanks to Mike Kafis of the Mythwits podcast because he's going to be acting as our producer. And Mythwits is part of the whole TSR podcast network. So that's pretty cool. And I wish someone else whose name I won't name could be there, but I understand someone is going to be in a sunnier locale. So I can't fault them for that.
Yeah. Well,
next year, right?
Next year.
And then I'd like to thank our Patreon backers, Patrick, Chris Parker from DaveBattleGames.com, and Kyle from Vermont for their support of the show. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. It costs as little as $1 a month, and that'll get you episodes before non-backers, and you also get behind-the-scenes content. And we have other backer levels. You can get cool things like special Wargaming Recon dice. We have a reward level where I'll mail you a postcard every month that has just custom stuff for you, kind of chat. We have t-shirts and all that sort of stuff. And we are actually $2 away from reaching the next Patreon goal, which will allow us to buy equipment to record with someone else in person, like at a convention. We could have a guest or whatever. So that is pretty sweet. And I think it's an important goal to reach because, like, you and I live down the street, but we're in different locations recording because that's how we got to do it. with the equipment, we wouldn't have to. So that's pretty cool.
That would be cool.
So just $2 away, that's just two people signing up for $1 a month, or anyone wants to up their pledge, you can do so. And then don't forget about the episode guide, because that's where you can find out what new stuff is coming out. You can find out when the episode's released and who the guests are going to be and the topics and all that sort of stuff. Next episode comes out on February 27th, 2017. It'll be episode 177. And what else we got? Show notes for this episode, again, you can find at wargamingrecon.com/WR176. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR176. I'd like to just give my very personal thanks to Chris and Corey from Cigar Box Battle for working with me and getting these review copies here. And I am so appreciative for having that opportunity. I love the mats. And maybe it didn't sound like it in the review, but I adore these things. They are superb. And I am most appreciative for having them. And I can't wait to go and obtain some more. And Alex, any last tidbits before we close out the show?
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I love coming on. I hope everyone doesn't mind me going off on my old man stories.
You are an old man. I'm not far behind. I realize my hair's thinning and I got all this white and people don't care. So that's the Wargaming Recon review of the Cigar Box Battle Mats. And of course, doesn't cover all the mats. All the mats are different. So it's really focused on the four that you and I have, Alex, but a little bit about the company as a whole. And don't forget, they will be coming on later in the year. We're trying to work on scheduling to get them on and talk about their company and what's going to be going on and all the cool new stuff. So I'm excited for that as well. And I think that is, yep, that looks like about all we have. So I just want to thank you, Alex, of course, for coming on and being co-host. It's great having someone else here to talk about things and keep me in line so I don't go crazy and say things that are untrue. And then I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Don't forget, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you want to spend patting your really soft Cigar Box Battle Mat, because they are just wonderful and I just want to cuddle it forever. You know, you have to. You need to. Keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go?
why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.